Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. With Pastor Sabrina Sessions and Assistant Pastor Bill Pringle and all of you, God bless you. God bless you one and all. And if you're visiting us or coming to listen to us for the first time, we encourage you to join us in our chat room. Our chat room is located on our webpage. Our webpage is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. That's www.miracleinternetchurch.com. And we encourage you to open two windows. The first window, when you come up on the page, you'll see a banner. And across the banner, it says MIC Radio Chat. Please do click that window and allow it to come up and enter yourself in. Enter yourself in and welcome. Open the door and enter yourself in. Praise the Lord. Amen. And say hi to everyone that's there. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless us one and all. The second window, we encourage you to open archived Blog Talk archive sermons. And when it opens, scroll down to the sermon for today and click it so you can listen to it through your computer. Amen. And we're asking the persons that are in the chat room that are posting to put that information there so that people that come up and can't hear get the point. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's very, very important. We've had a few reports of people coming up in the MIC chat and not being able to hear and not understanding why they couldn't. So we want everyone to know what they ought to do. Amen. Because we want to be fully engaged in the services at all time. Amen. Praise the Lord our God. And we pray that you've had a wonderful week in the Lord and that you're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, because we live in treacherous times and in an evil day. And we're depending on the Lord here to bring us through, and I pray that you're depending on him as well. Amen. This is our Sunday morning prayer meeting. So let's go before the Lord our God in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood that washes away our sin. We thank you for the blood that secures our salvation. We thank you for the blood that speaks of better things. We thank you for the blood that speaks for us before the throne of God. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy seat of Almighty God, that we might come and receive help when we need it, and that's all the time. We thank you, Lord, for your love that's been poured out to us. And not to us only, but to men, women, boys, and girls everywhere. We thank you for your grace, your powerful grace that changes lives and changes events and changes the course of history. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor, Father. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for the armor of God that we wear. We thank you, Lord, for the shield of faith wherewith we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We thank you for the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you put a hedge about us. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the wall of fire with the warring, linking angels, with your presence in the midst. We give you praise. We give you glory. We present our bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. And we realize that this is merely our reasonable service. We cast down all imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We cast all of our cares upon you, Lord, because we know that you care for us. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his underlings. We close the portals in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We close and seal every demonic door. And with the sword of the Lord, we cut ourselves free from every satanic connection in Jesus' name. We bind manipulative spirits, ungodly dedications, witchcraft attacks, the high days and the demonic powers that have been released. We bind every sacrifice, blood sacrifice, animal sacrifice, sexual sacrifice, financial sacrifice, whatever the sacrifice, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ and the demons that were released in the sacrifice. We bind the bewitching hour in which the evil was done, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we send all of that demonic oppression back to its place of origin in Jesus' name. We return it, Father, according to the covenant in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo spirits, all trafficking demons and technology demons, all EMF attacks, all Kundalini spirits. We cut ourselves free from the false church. We cut ourselves free from the false Holy Spirit. We cut ourselves free from every religious devil in the name of Jesus Christ. We only want the true and living God in the name of Jesus. We bind all retaliation of the enemy. We bind the Lord of the Flies. We bind all deception, all pride, all idolatry, lying, seducing spirits. We bind spiritual spies in Jesus' name. We bind error, the temptation to sin, mind control, the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, passivity, Baal, the distractions, Beelzebub, Apollyon, confusion, and rebellion in Jesus' name. We bind oppression and depression. We bind mystic rituals. We bind death and destruction in every spirit that denies the deity of Jesus Christ and his blood atonement. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere. We lift up President Trump and his administration, his family, and his life with you, Lord Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over him. And we bind every attack, every attempt at assassination, and every coup, and the members of the coup, those that are working against the will of God in Jesus' name. We send division and confusion into the enemy camp in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every marine spirit of every rank, order, type in the name of Jesus Christ. We pull down your rank. We pull down your authority, for Jesus Christ has already made an open show of you. We thank you, Father, and we give you praise, because though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. And the blood of Jesus and the wall of fire, the very presence of God, Psalm 91, between us and the demonic realm in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to believe, and a mind to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. We cut ourselves free from every soul tie, ley line, silver cord, garland, chain, fetter, net, yoke, consent, oath, pledge, pact, and any other form of demonic agreement that we have entered into knowingly or unknowingly in the name of Jesus Christ. We break down the walls of protection around every witch, warlock, sorcerer, diviner, wizard, and pagan in Jesus' name and all Satanists. And we ask, Lord, we overturn every cauldron in the name of Jesus. We break the powers of all the sacrifices over the waterways and over the ponds and lakes and seas and oceans in Jesus' name. Rola, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It does not belong to demons in Jesus' name. We break their wicked power and the wicked works of sin that they entice men to commit in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the power of every curse, hex, vex, spell, charm, fetish, all mind control, jinxes, voodoo, magic, sorcery, witchcraft, potions, bewitchment, sickness, pain, and torment, and every other form of ungodly witchcraft in Jesus' name. You've given, Father, no one permission to work ungodly, illegal, supernatural powers against anyone. And we bind those works in the name of Jesus Christ. We close every third eye in the name of Jesus. We close extra knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ to them. They have no right and no power in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord. Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus, praying against the influx of demonic activity coming to Jacksonville and surrounding areas. We bind your influence in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your plans, your strategies, your tactics, everything that you have done, the pacts that you have made, we sever in Jesus' name. We send confusion and division into the enemy camp in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, for you to call the righteous to prayer and fasting in Jesus' name, for this is a wicked day. We ask you, Father, to station your angels all over this community, Father. And we put the blood of Jesus around the borders of Duval County, Baker County, Polk County, Nassau County, Clay County, and all St. John's County, and all the surrounding counties, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to station warring angels here to war against every activity, every plan, every scheme of the devil. We break the power of the witchcraft covens here in this area in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind their works. We bind their wickedness. We bind their vile affections and activities in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, Ruko, so that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment we condemn. We thank you for the power that you have released to us, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to walk in our authority that Jesus Christ purchased for us. We pray for those who are most susceptible to these demons and their wiles, Father, in the name of Jesus. We cover this entire area, Father, of Florida, the entire state of Florida, with the blood of Jesus. We cover, Lord God, the entire coast, with the blood of Jesus Christ. We cover every person here, Lord, that is susceptible to these demons that are being sent here and being released here with the blood of Jesus Christ. We declare that this is the land of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood has never lost its power in Jesus' name. We pray for those, Father, who are faking Christianity. They are hypocrites. They show up, but they don't change. They don't come subject to your word, nor do they do it. They put on a face. They show up, Lord God, to give a presentation that is not the truth. But we thank you, Lord, for uncovering their true unrighteousness, that they might have an opportunity, Lord, to repent before the end comes. We thank you, Lord, for your grace being released, that truth goes forward, Lord, so they have an opportunity to see themselves in the light of your word, that others will see them in the light of your word, bringing conviction upon their sin life, Lord, and offering them the opportunity to come to you in the spirit of truth in Jesus' name. We pray for the true saints to grow closer to Jesus Christ and his faith. We thank you, Lord, for the faith as it was once delivered unto the saints in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the grace, the power, and what we need, Lord, to contend for the faith in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you glory. We bind every spirit that comes against the faith. The faith that Jesus Christ brought back to the earth. We bind every antichrist spirit, every spirit that is against Jesus Christ and continually militates against him, against his word, against his church, against his power, against his authority and his dominion in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you glory. We pray, Father, for those whom the Lord has earmarked to receive wealth, that they would remain faithful to the faith and not be swept away in covetousness and materialism in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the power of the world off their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the spirit of the age. We bind addiction to electronics. We bind addiction to the internet in the name of Jesus Christ. So they are tools to be used for the glory of God. So we bind their overwhelming influence in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit of electronic idolatry in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your grip and hold. We disconnect ourselves from you in the name of Jesus Christ. So we bind all mind control spirits.
We pull down every spider web in the mind. For the spiders have been crushed under the feet of Jesus Christ. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We do not belong to the world. Though we are here, we do not belong to the world. We belong to you, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise that you have called us out and called us into the kingdom for such a time as this. Cause us to stand, Lord, and to give our witness. Let our witness be heard in the earth, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind and take authority, dominion, and power over satanic marches in Jesus' name. Satanic marches that have attached themselves to godly causes in Jesus' name, trying to use this as a cloak over their own unrighteousness and their own rebellion against Jesus Christ. We bind those evil works in Jesus' name, for they are but wolves in sheep's clothing, and we call them out as such in the name of Jesus Christ. The plight of black people has been such ever since we were brought from Africa's shores in the name of Jesus. And now suddenly it is popular for business entities to use it as an advertising item. Well, Father, we call that sin in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your intervention, your adjudication, and the full execution thereof. We thank you for releasing the judgment in the earth in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that if they were so convicted, they would have done something about it before. But no, Lord, they went right along with the crowd because that was what was profitable for them. So we thank you for your judgments being released throughout the whole world, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you praise, and not black people only, Lord. Other peoples have been treated wrongly as well. So we call it forth, all of it, all of the sin. We call it out in the name of Jesus, and we call it sin because that's what the Bible says. It is sin. God is no respecter of persons. And we have no right to be respect of persons either in Jesus' name. The Bible says, and they call it the golden rule, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In the Bible it says that we are to be our brother's keeper. So we thank you, Lord, for the truth speaking loudly and for the truth rebuking lies and for the truth tearing down falsehoods. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father. We thank you, Lord, that at the moment it's popular to jump on the black bandwagon. But, Father, you know the liars that are there, and you see them clearly, and we ask you to uncover them for what they really are in Jesus' name. It is their covetousness. It is their greed. It is their materialism. It is the love of money that they have clung to. We bind mammon in the name of Jesus Christ because he has been crushed under the feet of Jesus Christ. We bind the unclean spirits and change them in eternal chains unto darkness in Jesus' name. We thank you. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you that they will be rounded up, Lord, put into the spiritual cage and sent to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We give you praise, Lord, for your power, your glory. We thank you, Lord, that the witness of the church will come forth. We thank you, Lord, that this revival will continue to move forward, Father, that hearts and minds will be pricked, that hypocrisy will be revealed, that lying spirits will be shown to be lying spirits, and that the truth will stand forth and speak in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the response of the Lord to the unrighteousness of the political arena to be swift and certain. We thank you, Lord, for your response to that is evil and wicked and comes from beneath. It is vile and an abomination unto you. We thank you, Lord, that these things are judged, and we ask you, Lord, to release your judgments in the earth, because all your judgments are right and they are all truth. We pray, Father, for those who are willfully ignorant of the truth, that they might mature in the name of Jesus. It is childish, even in this day, Father, to pretend that you can't see, you can't hear, and you don't know. We thank you, Lord, that an old battle flag from a war that was lost is not the flag for Christians in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you glory. It's the blood-stained banner, Father, that your people carry. Those that are true to you march with the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ, not a flag that represents a group of people who were defeated in war, who are rebelling. Why? Because they're filled with the pride of this world. We bind that, Father, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that you want unity among the brethren. Unity. That's when the commanded blessing comes, when the unity comes, Father. And we call for the unity of your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. We bind prejudice and racism and judgment wherever it is in Jesus' name. For you, Lord Jesus, are the righteous judge. We bind idolatry wherever it is found in the name of Jesus Christ. And we lay ourselves before you, Lord. We lay ourselves before you, for the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. Regardless to who does the killing, it says, thou shalt not kill. And your word is truth, Lord. So we bind up, Lord, the lies. We bind up the prejudice, the prejudging. For you alone are the righteous judge. Wherever it comes from, whatever race, whatever person, no matter how high or how low, we bind up sin in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that your truth has never stopped marching forward. We ask you, Lord, to bring those that are called by your name to their knees, Father, that they might repent of their part in it, whether it was unforgiveness, whether it was judgment, whether it was hatred, whatever is in our hearts that is not of you, Lord, we ask for you to shine your light on it today, Lord, and let it be seen that we might have the opportunity to repent before we stand before your throne. We ask you, Lord, to uproot darkness and put your light on it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to have mercy on the families that have been stricken in Jesus' name, wherever they are. We ask you, Father, to place your love upon them and your peace within them. And use this opportunity, Father, to bring men, women, boys, and girls of every race, because you made them all. You made them because it pleased you to do so. And we ask you to use this situation, Lord, these rallies that are going on. Use them, Father. I see they're not so afraid of the pandemic that they can't march forever in a day, but that's another story. We ask you to use those things, Lord, for your glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we plead the merits of the shed blood of Jesus all over this world. We thank you for hearing our prayers today, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, saints, you know we're getting ready for communion now. It's time for Holy Communion. And we're going to give you a moment to get your elements. This is a great day to be alive. I know it may not look like it, but it is. It's a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
It's a great day. This is the day to witness. This is today to let people know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, that he is God, that he's not sitting up there waiting to just strike you dead. No, he's not. He's waiting for men, women, boys, and girls everywhere to repent of their sins, to turn to him, to acknowledge the work that he did when he came to destroy the works of the devil. For them to acknowledge that it took his sinless blood being shed on Calvary for their sins to be washed away. For them to come to the Lord and ask him to change their wicked heart and make them like him. It's the day for men, women, boys, and girls everywhere to ask the Lord Jesus to come live in their hearts and be their Lord and personal Savior. It is the day to receive him who is God, to acknowledge him for who he is, to reverence him, to worship him, to bow down before him, to cry out to him for help and for mercy. We all need help and we all need mercy. Amen. We all need help and we all need mercy. Everyone has weaknesses, and we encourage everyone to give your weaknesses to the Lord, because we cannot make it without him. And if you have not learned that yet, keep breathing. You will. If you have not learned that yet in this life, keep breathing, because you will. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask you to forgive us of the sins we have committed, whether by thought, by word, by deed, or by omission, things that we knew to do right, but we did not do them. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We ask you to turn us once again into paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We forgive, Father, all the people that are marching against you. Everyone marching is not marching against you, but there are those that are. And we forgive them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you to have mercy on them, Lord, and give them an opportunity to come to you in the pardon of their sins. We thank you, Father, that the Bible speaks against rioting, and we forgive the rioters in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to have mercy on them, Lord, and to bring them into your kingdom. The Bible says that if we will ask for the heathen for an inheritance, that you would hear our prayer and answer. We thank you, Lord, for the murderers, those that have murdered innocent people, people that a traffic violation, you're not supposed to be murdered for, Lord. That's sin. That is sin. It's not just injustice. It's outright sin. So, Father, we forgive the murderer. We forgive the murderer that planned his thing up there in the Carolinas, went to church, midweek Bible study, sat there, listened to the word of God, and then took out his gun and killed the congressman and killed holy church people who came to church seeking your face, Lord, and left them on the floor bleeding to death. We forgive the past generations that have worked wickedness and evil in the name of the Lord. We forgive those that are working wickedness and evil in the name of the Lord now. And we ask you, Father, to convict, and continue to convict. Yes, Lord, we know that you have sent punishments and you have sent corrections, and they have yet hardened their hearts all the more. But, Father, we will not stop calling upon you until change comes in Jesus' name. The royal law is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, we've come today to honor your word. We've come to honor the blood of Jesus Christ. We've come to honor Father's Day because you are our Heavenly Father. We lift up to you human fathers everywhere, those that have abandoned their families, those that have denied their children, those that have pretended they did not impregnate anyone, those that have stood in the gap and been the fathers that you called them to be. Wherever they are in that spectrum, Father, we lift them up to you. We ask that you touch their lives. We ask that you mature them and cause them to become men of God. We ask that you teach them your word. We ask, Father, that you change their heart. We ask you, Father, to pour out your spirit on the fathers. and cause them to be like you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless them with true salvation in Jesus' name. We forgive them of their faults and their sins and their lies and their violence and every ungodly thing that they've ever done. And we praise you, Lord, for the good that many of them have done. For the fathers that taught their children about you, we thank you. For the fathers that got up and went to work no matter what the circumstances were, we thank you. For the fathers that stood in the gap and prayed for their families, we thank you. For the fathers that cared enough to instruct their children in right living and right believing, we thank you. For the fathers that stayed married to the mothers of their children, we thank you. And for the many other things that they have done throughout the communities, everywhere. Some men are fathers not because they sired a child, but because they stepped into that position and offered the love of God. We want to thank you for them, Father. Those that took up a mantle that they did not have to take. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father. We ask you to endue them with strength, endue them with your truth, endue them with your love, Father, that they might spread it all over the world. Let them not be silent in this hour, Lord, but let them speak the truth that is in your word. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the grace of God upon fathers. We thank you for the grace of God upon fathers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. And if you have your communion there ready with you, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, we give you thanks, Lord, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. Amen. Thank you, Lord. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened, corrected of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord our God. We just want to thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day in the kingdom, a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise God. It's a good thing to know the Lord. It's a good thing to be saved. It's a good thing to render to him the fruit of our lips, that's praise unto our God. And we want to thank the Lord for his kindness, his mercy, his grace to us, to our families, to the churches, to the body of Christ, to people everywhere. Because surely he has cleansed the earth once before in the days of Noah. There were only 8 left when God got finished. And we're still here. We want to thank God for his mercy, because it could be like that once again. But he has spared us and given us an opportunity to serve him in this life. Amen? So today, we're going to talk about honoring the Word of God. Honoring the Word of God. The awesome power of the Word of God. God's Word endures forever. Yes, it endures right past the Antichrist and all of his sins. His word never fails. His word is sure. It is certain. It is steadfast and can always be dependent upon to come to pass. You see, what God says happens, whether anybody likes it or not. Amen? Because there is no shadow of turning in our God. Our God is truth. Oh, that God's people would reverence his word. From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, King James Version, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. No, there was no Big Bang theory. There was no Big Bang. But there was the Word of God. So that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. Were not made, rather, of things which do appear. Let me do that one again. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the words that came out of God's mouth, not by the Big Bang or any other theory of man. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. From Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is obtained by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Let the church of God say amen. Amen. Let the people of God say praise the Lord. Amen. So you see, saints, the importance of the word of God in the life of a human being is so vast that it cannot be measured by human means or endeavor. The word of God, the importance of the word of God in the life of a human being is so vast that it cannot be measured by human means or endeavor. To quote a popular preacher, one word from God can change your life forever. And it is so. How significant is the word of God to you? How important is the word of God to you? That's something you should ask yourself, and you should give yourself a good answer. Amen? Amen. How much of your life have you spent poring over the pages of truth in search of the God who gave these words of life? Think of all the time you spent in this life so far. The years, the days, the months. How much of that was spent poring over the pages of truth, looking for God in every sentence, seeking him out, trying to discover who he really is and why you're here and why he sent you here. How much time have you given to such an endeavor? The God of the King James Bible is as important to you as you make him in your heart and in your mind. He is as important to you as you allow him to become. Our God and his word are the most significant. Our God and his word are the most significant being, period. There is none higher, none greater, none other, and none beside him. But if you choose not to treat him nor his word with all due reverence and honor, he can never truly be God to you. Why? Why is that? It's because you will always have some agenda, some idea, some motive, some goal, some desire, some person, some value, some sentiment, or some belief that stands between you and the true and living God. This sermon is preached to you today in hope that you will re-examine your present persuasion and come to realize how great and magnificent God Almighty always is, and that you owe him all reverence and honor. Amen? Let's go to 2 Timothy. We're just going to go there for a moment because we're going to come back to it again before we leave today. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Amen. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. You know, as we were entering into Holy Communion, I remembered some things from verse 15. And it says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When I was a very little girl, my grandmother took me to church, and I liked going to church. Church was the place where I ran into the anointing and came to recognize it, even though I didn't know that word. I learned it when I was very, very little, well before the first grade. I could tell when the power of God was in the church. I could feel his very presence. When I sat on the front row, as my grandmother was in the choir, singing with the choir, I could tell when God was coming into the church. I've been able to hear the Lord since I was a very little girl. And so when people would say to me that they couldn't hear from God, I would find that quite confusing because I thought everybody could hear him. But you know that is developed when you're little. You don't suddenly develop it when you're older unless you have not had the opportunity before. If you are a child, your parents bring you to church, you have an opportunity to get to know God while you're very young, before you completely destroy your life and then end up running to him, asking him to fix everything that you've done wrong most of your adult life. You have a wonderful opportunity, and you should take full advantage of it. It will cause you to miss many of the ditches in life that other people have fallen into, and you should not take it for granted. You should use every single moment to your advantage because you're going to need it, and you're not going to have to wait until you are fully grown to need it. You need it right now. So this is just not your parents' faith or your parents' religion. This is the faith that God has given to people, faith in Jesus Christ, that they might not only overcome in this life, but have an opportunity to receive eternal life. Amen? All right, we should be there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration. No, that's not, I got an idea. No, that not that kind of inspiration. Breathe, as in inspire, breathe. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. Yes, the word of God brings profit into our lives. It's profitable for doctrine or teaching. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. And we all need correction. We are human. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Hebrews. That's a good book of the Bible, Hebrews. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, in various ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So in sending Jesus Christ to us, God spoke to us. And he told us to hear him. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Amen? So we know there is no such thing as a Big Bang Theory. That's a big lie. Amen? Second Peter chapter 1. And verse 21, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So the word of God didn't come because some human being thought it up or conjured it up. But holy, say holy. Holy men of God. They weren't profane. They weren't vile. They weren't wicked. They weren't ungodly. But they were holy men of God. Spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they penned the word that God spoke. Moses spoke to God face to face. And he penned the books of the Bible that he was responsible for writing straight from the mouth of God. Amen? Psalm 33. Psalm 33. You see, we go through the scriptures so that you can see that I didn't make this up off the top of my head. It's actually true. Psalm 33, beginning with verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. The word of the Lord is right. It's never wrong. He's never wrong. He's God. And all his works are done in truth. Amen? Verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath
of his mouth. That's the inspiration we're talking about today. Verse 9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to nothing. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Amen? Amen. Let's go visit Hebrews again. We were just there. We know where to find it. Praise the Lord. We're going to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Amen. I remember when my grandmother would be getting on to us or talking about somebody that had done something they had no business doing, she would call them little Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick. God's word is alive. This book can talk to you, even when you don't want to listen. The word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. The word of God pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner or a judge of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. The Holy Scriptures judge thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to know what's in your heart? Why, open the pages. They will speak to you because the author has something to say. Amen. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. And verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God has magnified his word above even his holy name. And we know that there is power in his name. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Second Samuel chapter 22. Verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's been tested over and over and over again. He is a buckler or shield to all them that trust in him. But you see, we have to choose to trust. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Amen. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Isaiah. Let's visit with Isaiah for a little while. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of God stands forever. You can break yourself on it, but the word of God will not break. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. God is saying his word goes forth, and it doesn't come back to him without bringing results. His word has power to change life. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen? We need to be certain of this. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's the way it is. It's settled in heaven. Forever it's settled in heaven. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 34, beginning with verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not. People will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Life as we know it will pass away, but God's words will never pass away. Amen. Even prophets are believed to walk in integrity by their handling or dispatch of the word of God. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to begin at verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. If you're sitting under somebody that you can't say that about, you need to seek the Lord about who you're listening to.
Amen. Let's visit 2 Chronicles. We're going to talk about Solomon for just a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And verse 17. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou spoken unto thy servant David. You see, the Lord had told David that Solomon would follow him on the throne. And God saw to it that that's what happened. When God tells you it's going to rain tomorrow, get up, putting on your raincoat, your galoshes, and with your umbrella. I don't care if when you look out the sun is shining and there's not a cloud in the sky. If God says it's going to rain tomorrow, know that it will rain. Amen? Amen. There is a grave danger in despising the word of God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. There is danger in despising the word of God. And we're going to begin with verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophet, and they're still doing it today. Until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. That's very dangerous to put yourself in such a position that God has continually come to you, sent people to you, tried to get your attention over and over and over and over, and you refuse to heed. And so finally, the judgment comes. Excuse me. Psalm 107, beginning with verse 10. Psalm 107, beginning with verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned or spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Destruction comes when you despise the word of the Lord. Let's go over to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, beginning with verse 23. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, speaking of the children of Israel, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach. You see, there was a breach in the relationship between God and his people, just as there are many breaches in his relationship with our God and his saints. Why? Because we have sinned and have not repented and have allowed for such a breach. And then we want to know why the enemy is attacking us. Well, we need to get our act together. Amen? Amen. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, in the gap. That's what intercessors do. to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yes, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the land. It's a very dangerous thing to ignore God and to pretend you don't know that he said, and who says that's what you think? That's your interpretation. All right, we'll see whose interpretation it is. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13, beginning with verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 13, beginning with verse 9. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination, stubbornness of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. This stubborn people, they're walking in pride. God's not appreciating it at all. And he calls them evil because they don't want to hear what he has to say. And they want to walk in their own stubbornness. They want to walk after other gods. Primarily their own will. That's the God they serve. And they worship devils and not the true and living God. That's a very dangerous place to be in because destruction is usually right around the corner. The word of God, his gospel, has life-changing power. Let's go to Romans. Let's visit it, Romans. Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So you see there's no problem with the races here. There's no problem. He says to everyone that believeth, regardless to what your race is. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. By faith, not by circumstances, not by emotions. The just shall live by faith. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of John. That's just a few pages back. John. John chapter 6. And we're going to verse 60, John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, or that gives life. He's telling you here the Spirit of God gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. We've already discussed what the flesh is. If you take that word flesh and you write it with the H, the S, the E, the L, and the F,
and recognize that in some languages the H is silent, you have an explanation of what the flesh is. Self. Everything we are without God. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus says, they are spirit and they are life. His words are not carnal, earthly words. They are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So you see, saints, it's up to us to choose. Let's go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Amen. And we're going to verse 20. Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen? Let's go visit Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we're going to start, I think, at verse 45. Yes, I am. That's where we're starting, at verse 45. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your heart unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of the law. Verse 47, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Amen? It is your life. To the saint and believer, his word is our weapon against the onslaught of the enemy. Let's see. Jeremiah. We're close to Jeremiah. Let's go visit him a moment. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Verse 14, wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. You see, God's word has a lot of power, and we don't give it credit for what it really is. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. We don't esteem it as we should. Jeremiah 23 and 29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? God is asking, don't you realize what my word really is? Don't you realize how important it is? How could you think it was trivial? How could you think it was trivial? My words created the world. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. But he answered, Jesus speaking, when he was talking to Satan. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 1 John chapter 2,
First John chapter 2 and verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. God wrote. He thought it was so important that he would write. He wouldn't just speak, he would speak and write. Why? Because it needed to be read by generations yet to come. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Holy Bible was written for our benefit, for our learning, for our faith, for our health, for our hope, for our life. How is it that we are not convinced of this truth? How is it that we are not convinced of this truth? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 11. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, they wrote the word out. When we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Scriptures were written that we might develop in patience and have faith to receive comfort and walk in hope. Amen? So there's no excuse for us pretending to be hopeless. God has given us hope. Amen? And we should allow our hope to develop into faith. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen? They're written for this very purpose. Written that we might have hope. Written that we might learn about the love of God. The word was written for us, and we should take advantage of the blessing that we have received. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Now, Luke was writing his friend to tell him, he was writing Theophilus to say some things to him, because he deemed it to be urgent and important. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, ministers of Jesus' teaching. It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. He wanted him to know for sure, that the things he had heard were not just fables, they were the truth of the word of God. God wrote the Bible, and he wrote it for his people that he might bless us, help us, fellowship with us, save us, and prosper our way. Amen? It's important for us to take God seriously about what he says in the Bible. You wake up in the morning, and the Lord is telling you, go read this book of the Bible. It's because he wants to talk to you, and he's got something to say, and you ought to want to hear it. He isn't sending you there because he doesn't think you have anything else to do that day. He wants to fellowship with you as he fellowshiped with Adam in the garden. He wants to have a father-to-child discussion with you, and he has something to say. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Renew me by the word, he's saying. Renew me by the word. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to verse 23. Proverbs 6, verse 20. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs or corrections of instruction are the way of life. If you're going wrong, God's word will correct you. It will correct you and bring you into order. Why? That God might bless you. He does not want you walking outside the boundaries of his will for your life. Why? Because when you do, you're open to the enemy and his destructive power. So we should cherish the word of God. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, all the way at the back. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. The true light now shineth. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Verse 28. Amen. Praise the Lord. Speaking of Paul, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He didn't do it off the top of his head. He didn't do it out of a dream. He did it by showing the scripture. Saints, the Bible is important to us. Our faith is founded in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his holy word. We need to give it the more earnest reverence and importance in our lives. A day should not go by that we have not picked up our Bible to read something. We should never leave our home without it. You don't know who you're about to witness to as you walk out the door. And as you see, Paul convinced them that Jesus was Christ by showing them the scriptures. Well, if you left your Bible at home, what scriptures are you going to show them? It's important. You might be the last person to witness to that person. You cannot afford to take the word of God the King James Version of the Bible lightly. It's what we live by, saints. It's what we live by. And we want to thank the Lord for his graciousness toward us, to give us a Bible, to give us something. Words that we are to hide in our hearts forever and live by them and teach them to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, anybody that will listen, because his word changes life. It changes lives. It changes minds. It changes hearts. That's why we tell you that once you've received deliverance, you should play the word of God in your house. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You should never have a time that it's not on. Why? Because, yes, you have unbelievers in your house. But if it's forever playing, they have the opportunity to walk through a room and hear words that will change their lives forever. You don't have to be home. You can be at the grocery store. But those words will go in. And they will change hearts and minds forever. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And now the benediction. Amen? Praise the Lord. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And the people of God said amen.
Amen.
You die.